So we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12, and that's on page 1153 of your Bibles, 1153. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great, thanks Anna for praying, Duncan for reading. Do keep it open. And we're going to start. There's a picture that I want you to see on the screen as we begin. That is a picture of my school first 15 rugby team. Stop squinting. No, I'm not in it. I wish. It's taken from last century, which makes me feel very old. That's why it's grainy and that's why it's black and white. Everything was in black and white then, wasn't it? From 1996. And this side were unbeaten for the whole season. And several had international caps, playing for a few for England, one for Scotland. Some have got their own Wikipedia page. Sickeningly, for lots of us who weren't in the first 15, it's because we weren't good enough. And not easy to tell on the photo, we just weren't big enough. They were just massive. They were machines. And it was very frustrating for us, the rest of us who are a bit wimpy. One day, I'll get over it. They were the biggest and the best to make the first 15 rugby team that year. For the rest of us, the only part we had to play was turning up onto top fields to cheer them on to be unbeaten week after week. Because as far as that team went, we did not belong. Now, in chapter 12 of this letter, as you're thinking, why on earth are we starting there? It's because in chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes to this church in Corinth to make it very clear that God has not designed his church to be anything like that first 15 rugby team of 96, or any rugby team, or any sports team since. He is wonderfully clear that every Jesus is Lord believing Christian, as he put it in verse 3, is a spiritual believer, and so therefore is very welcome and belongs and is a vital member of the church. So while some of us knew we weren't good enough or big enough to be in the rugby team, for the church, the body of Christ, as we'll hear, there is no basis whatsoever for thinking I'm not spiritual enough or thinking others are more spiritual, which disqualifies me. All Jesus' Lord Christians are given and gifted by God for the building of God's kingdom and all for God's glory alone. That's what Paul wants us to see. And we'll need the Spirit's help to see that. Let's pray as we begin. And if you've shut it, it's page 1153, and we'll look at the words together. Let's pray. Father, we thank and praise you that as we've already prayed, you speak to us through your word, empowered by your Spirit. We pray now, as your body gathered here today of believers, that you would help us hear you. We pray you'd give us ears to hear, minds and hearts to understand, and to respond to what you'd have us understand about you and your love, about each other, what it is to know and follow you. We thank you for Paul writing these words to Corinth then, to Crouch End today. Please help us, we pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there we are, chapter 12. We saw the first part last week, verse 12 continuing this week. And the first thing we see is that Paul wants us to know the local church is one body made of many parts. I think that'll be our first slide, Alex. That's it. Local church, one body, many parts. Indeed, the global church, one body, many parts, but particularly for us today, locally expressed. Paul uses a very simple but very profound picture because he knows we can all relate to it, the human body. Verse 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. He repeats it, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So Paul is saying, there might be many of you, but there is unity, one body, and diversity in that body through many parts. And through repeating the word one, we get a sense, don't we, that in these verses, all believing Christians are baptized by one Holy Spirit into this one body. He says whether Jew or Greek or slave or free. In other words, the big social, racial, religious, and societal segregators that they knew at the time, we'll have our own today, some still sadly similar. But he says they're all secondary in Christ. He makes you one. Whoever we are, wherever we're from, whatever we've done, the one true Holy Spirit holds all baptized believers together as one body. In other words, difference is wonderfully woven into God's very good design for his people. In other words, that means rather than like the pedigree there of the first 15 rugby team, we're more like this. I mean, the body's the best picture, but just looking for another one, just that massive school photo. Lots and lots of people from right there, from pre-nursery up to year 13, upper six. It seems there are more than I could fit onto the screen. It goes to above, left and right. There's all the children of all the ages, there's all the teachers, there's coaches, there's PE staff, there's cleaners, they're all there. The one school, regardless of colour, creed or kin, they're like one body, many parts, all playing their role, teachers to pupils, coaches to cleaners. Every well-run school knows everybody has a part to play. The point is, wonderfully, as we look around, we'll see Christchurch, Crouch End, we're not huge, but wonderfully, we're hugely different. And that is very good, and that is just as God wants it. And it's easy, too easy, to value one person and their place or their part over and above another. That's seemingly what's happening in Corinth, as we'll hear. God doesn't do that. Might be you know you are a Jesus is Lord Christian, again, as he's put it earlier in the letter. But you might not always feel a part of the body. That doesn't make it true. The fact is, you are. And so whether we're preaching from a pulpit, bouncing babies on our knees in a creche, whether we're clearing up the kitchen, whether we're coming in midweek to clear out the money box, whether we're paying in donations at the bank, we're simply praying for others from home, or myriad things that only the Lord would see and know about. If you're a Jesus is Lord believer here this morning, you belong to God, not because of anything you do for him, but gloriously because of what he's done for you. The church is one body, and there's just many parts. That means, secondly, and our second slide, Alex, that nobody is inferior and nobody is superior. Now, this was really important for a very competitive Corinthian culture to get their heads around. I think not too dissimilar to a very competitive 21st century London culture. Paul knew that some will have felt inferior or unnecessary in Corinth, that they couldn't do what we call them Karens and Harrys last week. Do you remember? They can't do what they can, Karens, and they haven't felt what they felt, Harrys. They felt inferior. And so Paul says, verse 15, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. In other words, because of the competitive instinct, some were viewing the church in Corinth like the rugby team. Only the biggest and best will do. And yet all of us, including those big and best rugby players, know that if they, on the pitch, even stub their little toe, as tough as they are, they hop around like they've been shot in the leg. They know they need that toe. And the church, like our bodies, needs real diversity, big and strong, weak and small, or big and small, weak and strong, to function. So Paul continues, verse 17. Look what he says. If the whole body were an eye, it's just a monstrous thought, but if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Perhaps you sometimes look around at how God has gifted others at Christ Church and feel you're inferior, ungifted, and if you're honest, a bit jealous. Paul says, do not think for one second you are not a very precious part of the body. So maybe you're not the singer up front, but perhaps instead you're the listening ear, gifted in knowing when to simply stay quiet and listen, or to pick up the pen and write a word of encouragement, unseen by anyone else but the person who gets that letter and the Lord. Maybe you're not the hands that write Bible studies week in, week out, but you're the feet who runs errands quietly behind the scenes for those in need, or the one with a burden of care and concern to use time at home to commit to pray for others here. What's wonderful is so clear here is there's almost more honour that's contrary to the world's thinking on the weaker, less showy things. Church should feel messy and broken, made up of the weak and vulnerable who God equip to build his body. We might want a different spiritual gift, But the gifts that we're given are not about being seen by others. No, they're given in the service of the giver, of God, for his glory. Verse 18, all placed by God just as he wants it to be. Be encouraged. There is to be no inferiority. Equally, there's to be no superiority. So verse 21, look down if you will. He reminds them, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The problem Paul's highlighting and addressing for them in Corinth was their pride. As one writer summarizes it very pithily, he says, it would be like an eye thinking it doesn't need a hand until an eyelash next gets stuck. Or a head doesn't need any feet, without which heads will literally roll. Paul reminds us, verse 22, even the weaker parts are indispensable, which, just to be clear, is his polite way of saying the stuff that we put in under our underwear. And that is unseen, but important. Paul is very clear. Don't think for one minute you might be more necessary than somebody else. I wonder if it's a bit like that watch. I've got one up there, here, sort of a toy one. A bit like a made-together one of what you see on the screen there that's been taken apart. We picture an analog watch. Of course, it's the hands that we need to tell us the time. That's all we're looking at. But if they could talk, there is little point in the hands of a clock boasting that they're the best thing on there. Because if any one of those absolutely minuscule and sometimes needing a microscope to see parts stops working, the clock stops ticking and the hands don't tell the time. They're useless. Paul's point is the Spirit takes the diversity and brings unity, but not uniformity. And that means, verse 25, there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So as it says, when one suffers, all suffer. You hurt your pinky, your body aches. When one is honored, all rejoice. Even from the touchlines, we cheered the team. There's no inferiority, no superiority, no self-pity, and no smugness. Because verse 18 again, all are placed by God just as he wants it to be. They're his gifts, given for his purposes and glory. And he knows exactly what he's doing. That means, friends, if you consider yourself a Jesus is Lord, believing Christian, perhaps part of the body here, and a welcome if you're a guest or more regularly somewhere else. But if that is you, thank you for all who are serving. We'll have our annual meeting, be a chance to express that together again. But on behalf of the elders and PCC, thank you. And these verses do remind all of us in that camp not to dismiss or overrate our gifts, or to dismiss or overrate the gifts of others, but to give glory and thanks to God, one for the other. Which means these verses remind us, don't they, that it's not only some that we more readily notice if they suffer, or others that we will value and celebrate more. If the hands on the watch fail, it might be because of something very normally unseen is broken and needs attention. All of us have a part to play. I'm thinking perhaps extending something of the body metaphor a little bit further than Paul takes it. I was thinking a little bit about sort of my journey of faith and friends and family and loved ones. I think it's right, isn't it, that we anticipate our gifts to change. God gives and takes away and equips at various times and seasons. Some gifts need developing and training and nurturing. Or as we grow and then stop growing and feel like we're starting to shrink a bit, perhaps we notice and look back and think, do you know what, I once had less time, but more energy. Wonderfully, many who've been here decades have looked back and seen all sorts of roles they've done that they couldn't do now. They're still serving. And that's why perhaps you're sat here thinking, you know, now I've got less energy, but a bit more time, and using it for serving. Others, perhaps, it's an opportunity to get in touch, to discuss and think, how can I serve? We'll think a bit more about that in a moment. How can I play my part? But rest assured, God, the gift giver, equips us all for his plans and his purposes and glory. The church is one body of many parts. There's nobody inferior nor superior. And finally, as Paul rounds it off, that's because all are arranged by and for the will of God. I think there'll be a final slide, Alex. Arranged by God and all for God. A bit like that wedding breakfast seating plan. Paul concludes by clarifying the points of his body picture. Verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all," and having heard lots about one, we're surprised perhaps to hear that word first and how they're placed. Because Paul then goes on to list lots of God-designed and God-assigned roles. You heard, as Duncan read, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, presumably miracle workers, healers, helpers, guiders. And then given Corinth prized it too highly, very deliberately last on the list, tongues, speakers, and interpreters. Now, just to be clear, this is not a full list. There are others in this letter. There are others elsewhere in Scripture. Some on this list were specific to them then more than to us now. The whole point of the list is to show inclusivity and value, not exclusivity. And we're not going to unpack each one of them now, what they may have meant then and may or may not mean now. But the point is that not everyone has every gift. And that is by God's design. And that is good. You don't need a watch that's just lots and lots of hands competing to tell the time. And that is good. For like the parts of a body, all have a part to play. But like the parts of a body, and perhaps surprising in the way that Paul lands his point, is that some gifts God gives take not so much priority, but precedence, if I can put it like that. So just like the wedding seating plan, everybody's welcome, if their name's down, they're welcome to come and have a seat. But yes, of course, there's a table where the bride and groom will sit, and their family, because that is why everybody else is there. And so it seems Paul's point is that without the apostles and the prophets and teachers, those who God has gifted to more publicly proclaim God's good news, well, then there would be no churches gathering to make up the body, to use their gifts to serve in and ensure that the apostles and prophets and teachers can keep doing what they do. So Paul says, don't pick your favourite of God's gifts and wish you could do that. Instead, that sense here is to, verse 31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. In many ways, that's Paul's way of teeing up what he will correct them about in chapter 14, this prize gift of speaking in tongues. We'll come back to that then, so wait for it. And he does that not before he tees up the very famous chapter 13 with, "And yet I'll show you the most excellent way." Whereas we get to that next week, it's clear he's saying, Christians, you could have every one of God's gifts going, but without love, you are nothing more than a really annoying noise. Again, more next time. But friends, be encouraged. If you're a Jesus' Lord, believing Christian this morning, if you consider Christ Church, that part of the body which you're part of, then you are an indispensable part of Christ's body, given and gifted by God. battling your heart with words of assurance, no need for inferiority, no self-pity, nor superiority, no smugness, but the unity, humility, and especially love as we come to chapter 13. For all are arranged and equipped by and for the will of God, the master watch builder, the great body designer. There's perhaps just one question that I'd love us to chew on after we've broken bread in a moment and closed things formally. We'll have time with coffee. Let's have the next question on screen, please, Alex. This can take us into the week. I'll put it on the weekly news. You know the slide? There it is. This, I think, ties things together. This is what Paul would have us asking of ourselves. What could I do with the gifts God's given me to best serve and glorify him? What could I do with the gifts God's given me to best serve and glorify him? Might be there's things you need to stop. Might be things you need to start or explore. Might be motives you need to have challenged. But imagine what the Lord could do with each and every one of us playing our part, given his gifts in us and through us, and all for his glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank and praise you for designing the church, your people, as one body with many parts. We pray you'd help us to look as we break bread and wine, remembering the price you've paid to redeem us and make us yours. And so forgive us when we compare or compete or withdraw. We pray you'd help us to walk in humility and unity and love, finding joy and purpose in the place you've gifted us to be. We ask you'd build up your body here in Crouch End, all for your glory, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.